So much of the narrative around Marikana has been what has changed. And you would have heard the voices on 702 and Cape Talk and on EWN of people in Marikana saying, well, nothing has changed in the last 10 years. What about policing? What have we learned about policing? How has policing changed? David Bruce is an independent researcher specializing in policing and public security who's been looking at this issue at the ISS. David, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for your time. The expectation is that little has changed in how the police deal with crowd management since Marikana. Has anything changed?
One thing is the basic conflation of Marikana and crowd management is in some ways not appropriate, because the manner in which the police responded to the Marikana situation wasn't typical of their general response to crowd management situations. And so what characterized the Marikana situation was the fact that prior to the operation on the 16th, was that there had been quite a lot of violence, including the killing of some police. And the police response was in some ways defined in terms of their expectations that if they tried to disperse or disarm the strikers, they would be met by violent resistance. And so the units that they deployed and the weapons that they deployed that were used by these units, the R5 rifle, were not weapons or units that were typically used at that scale in public order operations. Mm. However, they were used, at a much lower scale. And basically, the one thing that has changed is that basically the R5 is not used in public order operations. And these units, the what are called the tactical units, like the TRT, are generally not used, and definitely, if they are used, are not equipped with R5s.
And that's the significant point that you make here, is that's the key thing that's changed, the issue around the R5 being used. There was also the Farlam Commission. There was a panel. It delivered a 590-page report. There were suggestions about police training and how the curriculum had to be changed and all of that around infrastructure and buildings and all of that stuff. Did anything get implemented?
Okay, so the panel was focused on public order policing. It was established on the recommendations of the Marikana Commission. I think the short answer is that there hasn't been any clear engagement with the panel's report by the SAPS itself. However, there is an amendment to the SAPS, Act, that has been drafted by the Civilian Secretariat for Police. And that does reflect engagement with the findings of the panel. And as far as I understand, amendment to the SAPS is supposed to be introduced in Parliament sometime this year.
Mm. And then, of course, there was the level of dishonesty at the Marikana Commission, at the Farlam Commission, which in many ways undermined the credibility of the police and the National Police Commission at the time, Ria Piecha. How much has that eroded the public trust in the police service?
Well, yes, I think that the one thing that it has done is contributed to eroding public trust in the police service. But the other aspect of it is that it's contributed to creating a fundamental environment of distrust around Marikana itself. So currently, the kind of discourse around Marikana is one that is, very much characterized by, mistrust and antagonism. And so there is little confidence that there is any real seriousness on the part of government about addressing the legacy of Marikana or taking seriously the issues of accountability. Another thing is the simple business of an apology for Marikana. So that's one issue that's been put on the table, exactly who that apology should come from, and how it should be done. But basically, none of this has been addressed in a satisfactory way. And I would say that the current environment in many ways has been defined by the consistent dishonesty of the SAPS
right.
in the manner in which they participated in the commission.
David, thank you very much. David Bruce, independent researcher specializing in policing and public security, speaking to us there about Marikana. And that's an important point that he raises as well, the issue of an apology. Who should apologize for Marikana? Will we ever see an apology? Would the president ever apologize for the concomitant action? Or do you think that would make him culpable legally? What are your expectations? Will anything ever happen?